Thank you, Vida, for the music. I can sit and listen to her all the time. In my opening, it talked about a nation that was formed overnight. And back in 48, it was almost formed overnight. I mean, they had a war going on, but the United States recognized that day that the state of Israel. I think that was Harry Truman that did that. So there are times that we may not recognize everything that the Lord's doing in the background. And He's always working. He's not at rest today. I believe He's still working today with all of us. And there's so much that is going on. We sometimes may not recognize the things that are going on today, and it's like building a big skyscraper that you might see the outside steel going up, and then at one point everything will be going on inside, and you won't be able to see that. And so the Lord too, we don't see everything that the Lord does, and in preparing a people, and preparing a people that will bring forth this city called Zion. So He is working today, and that's my testimony. He's always there. He's willing to be with us, and sometimes He's teaching us things that we may not understand completely, but He's always there. Back in John, the 4th chapter, starting with 37. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look around, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he who repenteth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he who soweth and he who reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. And I have sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. The prophets have labored, and ye have entered into their labors. I hadn't really realized that before, but the prophets of old did speak. And they were the ones that were sowing the seeds that we can come back later and reap the rewards for the people who repent and are baptized. And so there's a continuous working in this area. And everybody has testimonies that they give. And I know that I was thinking about Brother Bill Davies today, and his birthday would have been tomorrow. And I always liked sitting under his ministry. He always had a different stories that you could remember and stuff. And I know that one time him and Coral were sitting in their living room, and he said to Coral, he said, you know, I'd really love to have a quail dinner. He said, it's been a while since we've had quail, and he said, I'd really love to have one. And at that point in time, there's three thuds that hit the side of the house, and he jumped up and ran outside, and there was three quail that flew into the side of the house and killed them. And the dog ran over and was trying to get one, so he grabbed all three of them, and he told Coral, he said, you know, all you got to do is pray, and the Lord shall deliver. And she said, yes, that's true, that the Lord always delivers. And they had a quail dinner that night. And he had a lot of testimonies. And I know that his son, Ron, he was at a church meeting up at the, I don't know if it's auditorium or the spiral temple up there, and they were going through a class, and they were making fun of his great-grandfather, and he said, do you think that today he could go out and baptize thousands of people? And I guess they thought that, they said that was a simpler time when J.J. Cornish would go out, and these people today are more educated and stuff, and they wouldn't listen to him. And Brother Ron raised up his 3-in-1. He said, I believe that J.J. could do it because he had the Spirit of God with him when he did that. It wasn't anything he did by himself. And so we are waiting on the Lord to endow us that we might go forth again with that great Spirit, and that He may pave the way for us. In the 20th chapter of Matthew, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, a householder, who went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. And he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. He sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and found others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And he said unto them, why stand here ye here all this day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right ye shall receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came, they began to about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had recovered a penny, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought 1 hour only, and thou hast made them equal unto us, who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst now thou agree with me for a penny? Take thine and go thy way. I will give unto you this last even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own. Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody, the Lord goes out and calls to everybody, but there's only a few that are chosen to do the work. And we all have things that we need to do. And it's not, everybody's not called to administer and heal, there's, everybody has their own special gifts. And so we need to figure out what those gifts are. And as it tells us in the parable of the talents, that if you use your talents wisely, you'll receive more. And if you don't use, you just sit there idle, those will be taken from you. So we need to figure out what our God-given gifts are. And you probably have a understanding of what yours are, maybe not to the extent of everything, but I think that most people understand what their gifts and talents are, and then as they learn more will be given unto them as they use and put the, into practice those things which they have learned. And in here it says that the ones that labored all day long were upset. And maybe not all of them, but there's a few that were murmuring against the Lord. And I thought to myself, you know, you're going to get that penny is just I don't know how you explain it. It was their wages, and I like to think that was eternal salvation, and you can't have anything more than eternal salvation for me, and those that were in the work with the Lord all the day long got to be with the Lord, and that's a blessing in itself. That you have the Lord with you as you go through each and every day. You know, when Zion's established and stuff, and you go down the street, you'll see friends and stuff. You'll wave to people and you'll sit and talk to them, and it'll be a joy to walk down the street in Zion because you'll see your friends there, and it won't be like you won't know anybody because you'll know everybody. And everybody will know you, and it'll be a joyous time that we'll have here. And there's been so many times that you think that the Lord has stopped working, but I do. I stumble once in a while, but I see things still working and still going on, especially in my life. I see things from time to time that I look back on, and I know that the Lord had a hand in that. And we all have hindsight vision where if I had only known back then, if the Lord would have told me, I would have did something differently. But yet, you need to make the decisions as you go through life of what is right and what is wrong, and do things accordingly. And your scriptures can provide that by giving you the straight and narrow. And we desire to be in the work with the Lord. And jumping over to Jacob, the third chapter, and this is a little bit long, but I really think that is very important in these last days, starting with verse 31. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will liken thee, O house of Israel, like unto a tame olive tree, which a man took and nourished in his vineyard. It grew and waxed old and began to decay. And it came to pass that the master of the vineyard went forth, and he saw that his olive tree began to decay. And he said, I will prune it and dig about it and nourish it. And perhaps it may shoot forth young and tender branches, and it perish not. And it came to pass that he pruned it and digged about it and nourished it according to his word. And I always wondered why he digged about the roots and stuff, because it seemed like that would cut off a way to get the nourishment up to the branches up above. But we do some gardening and stuff, and somebody said on one of the websites that if you have tomatoes and they're big and green and stuff, and they're just don't seem like they're wanting to ripen up, if you dig around like two-thirds around the base of the plant will think that there's something happening, and I need to get these tomatoes ripe as soon as possible because something has happened here. And a tomato plant, their main goal is to do the seeds and get the seeds ready. So if you dig about the roots, the tomatoes won't grow any bigger, but they'll get red faster. So that's what he's doing here, is he's trying to make the make new shoots and by fertilizing and stuff, he's able to get forth and do new shoots and new fruit that comes up. So and it came to pass that the master of the vineyard saw it, And he said unto his servants, it grieveth me that I should lose this tree. Wherefore, go and pluck the branches from a wild olive tree, and bring them hither unto me, and we will pluck off those main branches which are beginning to wither away, and we will cast them into the fire, that they may be burned. And behold, saith the Lord of the vineyard, I will take away many of those young and tender branches, I will graft them whithersoever I will, and it mattereth not if it so be, that the root of this tree will perish, that I may preserve the fruit thereof unto myself. Wherefore I will take these young and tender branches, and I will graft them whithersoever I will. Take thou the branches of the wild olive tree, and graft them in the stead thereof. And these which I have plucked off I will cast into the fire, and burn them, that they may not cumber the ground of my vineyard. And it came to pass that the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did according to the word of the Lord of the vineyard, and grafted in the branches of the wild olive tree. And the Lord of the vineyard caused that it should be digged about, and pruned, and nourished, saying unto his servant, it grieveth me that I should lose this tree. Wherefore, that perhaps I might preserve the roots thereof, and they perish not, that I might preserve them unto myself, I have done this thing. Wherefore, go thy way, watch the tree, and nourish it according to my words. And these will I place in the netherest part of my vineyard, whithersoever I will, and it mattereth not unto thee. And I do it, that I may preserve unto myself the natural branches of the tree, and also that I may lay up fruit thereof against the season unto myself, for it grieveth me that I should lose this tree and the fruit thereof. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard went his way and hid the natural branches of the same olive tree in the netherest parts of the vineyard, some in one and some in another, according to his will and pleasure. And it came to pass that the long time passed away, and the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, come, let us go down into the vineyard, that we may labor in the vineyard. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and its servant went down into the vineyard to labor. And it came to pass that the servant said unto his master, behold, look here, behold the tree. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard looked and beheld the tree, in the which the wild olive branches had been grafted, and it had sprung forth and began to bear fruit. And behold, it was good, and the fruit thereof was like unto the natural fruit. And he said unto the servant, behold, the branches of the wild tree take hold of the moisture of the root thereof, and the root thereof hath brought forth much strength. And because of the much strength of the root thereof, the wild branches have brought forth tame fruit. Now, if we had not grafted these branches, the tree therefore would have perished. And now I behold, I shall lay up much fruit, which the tree thereof hath brought forth. And the fruit thereof I shall lay up against the season unto mine own self. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, come, let us go to the nethermost parts of the vineyard, and behold, the natural branches of the tree hath not brought forth much fruit also, that I may lay up the fruit thereof against the season unto mine own self. And it came to pass that they went forth whither the master of the vineyard had hid the natural branches of the tree. And he said unto the servant, behold these, and behold the first, that it had brought forth much fruit, and it had beheld also that it was good. And he said unto the servant, take of the fruit thereof, and lay it up against the season, that I may preserve it unto my own self. For behold, said he, this long time have I nourished it, and hath brought forth much fruit. And it came to pass that the servant said unto his master, how comest thou hither to plant this tree, or this branch of the tree? For behold, it was the poorest spot in all the land of the vineyard. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto him, Counsel me not. I knew that it was a poor spot of ground. Wherefore, I said unto thee, I have nourished it in this long time, and thou beheldest that it hath brought forth much fruit. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, Look hither, behold, I have planted another branch of the tree also, and thou knowest that this spot of ground was the poorest than the first. But behold the tree, I have nourished it this long time, and it hath brought forth much fruit. Therefore gather it, and lay it up against the season, that I may preserve it unto my own self. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said again unto his servant, Look hither, and behold another branch also, which I have planted. Behold, I have nourished it also, and it hath brought forth fruit. And he said unto the servant, Look hither, and behold the last. Behold, I have planted a good spot of ground, and I have nourished it this long time. And only a part of the tree hath brought forth tame fruit, and the other part of the tree hath brought forth wild fruit. Behold, I have nourished the tree like unto the others. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, Pluck off those branches that have not brought forth good fruit, and cast them into the fire. But behold, the servant said unto him, Let us prune it and dig about it, and nourish it a little longer, and perhaps it may bring forth good fruit unto thee, that thou canst lay it up against the season. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did nourish all the fruit of the vineyard. And it came to pass that a long time had passed away, and the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, Come, let us go into the vineyard, that we may labor again in the vineyard. For behold, the time draweth near, and end soon cometh, wherefore I must lay up fruit against the season, and mine own self. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and the servant went down into the vineyard, and they came unto the tree, whose natural branches had been broken off, and the wild branches had been grafted in, and behold, all sorts of fruit did cumber the tree. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard did taste the fruit, every sort according to its number. And the Lord of the vineyard said, Behold, this long time have we nourished this tree, and I have laid up against myself, against the season, much fruit. But behold, this time it hath brought forth much fruit, and there is none of it which is good. And behold, there is all kinds of bad fruit, and it profit me nothing, notwithstanding all our labor. And now it grieveth me that I should lose this tree. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, What shall we do unto the tree, that I may preserve again the good fruit thereof unto mine own self? And the servant said unto this master, Behold, because thou didst graft in the branches of the wild olive tree, they have nourished the roots, and they are alive, and they have yet not perished. Wherefore, thou beholdest that the day that they are not yet good. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent unto his servant, The tree profited me nothing, save the roots, and the roots thereof profited me nothing, so long as it shall bring forth evil fruit. Nevertheless, I know that the roots are good for mine own purpose. I have preserved them because of their much strength. They have hitherto brought forth from the wild branches in good fruit. But behold, the wild branches have grown and have been overrun the roots thereof, because of the wild branches have overcome the roots thereof. It hath brought forth much evil fruit. And because it hath brought forth much evil fruit, that thou beholdest, it beginneth to perish, and it will soon become ripened, that it may be cast into the fire, except we should do something for it to preserve it. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, Let us go down into the nethermost parts of the vineyard, and behold, the natural branches have also brought forth evil fruit. And it came to pass that they went down into the nethermost parts of the vineyard. And it came to pass that the fruit of the natural branches had become corrupt also, yea, the first and the second and also the last, and they all had become corrupt. And the wild fruit of the last had overcome that part of the tree which brought forth good fruit, even the branch that withered away and died. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard wept. And he said unto the servant, What could I have done more for my vineyard? Behold, I knew that all the fruits of the vineyard, save it were these, had become corrupted. And now these which have brought forth good fruit have also become corrupted. And now all the trees of my vineyard are good for nothing, save it be that they be hewn down and cast into the fire. And behold, the last whose branches had withered away, I did plant a good spot of ground, yea, even which was choice unto me, above all the parts of the land of my vineyard. And thou beheldest that I also cut down which cumbereth this spot of ground, that I might plant this tree in the stead thereof. And thou beheldest a part thereof brought forth good fruit, and part of thereof brought forth wild fruit. And because I plucked the branches thereof and cast them into the fire, behold, they have overcome the good branches, and it has withered away. Now, behold, notwithstanding the care which we have taken of the vineyard, the trees thereof have become corrupted, that they bring forth no good fruit. And these I have hoped to preserve, to have laid up fruit thereof against the season of mine own self. But behold, they have become like unto wild olive tree, and they are no worth. But lo, but to be hewn down and cast into the fire, and it giveth me that I should lose them. But what I could have done more in the vineyard, have I slackened my hand, and I have not nourished it? Nay, I have nourished it, and I have digged around it, and I pruned it, and I have dunged it, and I have stretched forth mine hand against all the day long, and draweth nigh. And it grieveth me that I should hew down all the trees of my vineyard and cast them into the fire, that they should be burned. Who is it that has corrupted my vineyard? And it came to pass, the servant said unto his master, It is not the loftiness of the vineyard. Have not the branches thereof overcome the roots which are good? And because the branches have overcome the roots thereof, behold, they grew faster than the strength of the roots and taken strength unto themselves. Behold, I say, it is not because of the trees of the vineyard have they become corrupted. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, Let us go, hew down the trees of the vineyard and cast them into the fire, that they shall not cumber the ground of the vineyard. For I have done all what I have done more for my servant. But behold, the servant said unto the Lord of the vineyard, Spare it a little longer. And the Lord said, Yea, I will spare it a little longer, for it grieveth me that I should lose the trees of the vineyard. Wherefore, let us take of the branches of these, which I have planted in the nethermost parts of my vineyard, let us graft them into the tree whence they came, and let us pluck from the tree of the branches whose fruit is most bitter, and graft them in the natural branches of the tree thereof. And it keeps going on, and the Lord has caused these trees and branches to go forth. And I like to think that that has to do with the country of Israel when they were overrun and the Lord put them out into the world. And they weren't always put in the most desirable places, but they were put out there. And They were given the strength, and they endured a lot of pain when they were overrun and they were taken. Babylon took some of them away, and they were put into bondage, and they became so a bad area to be raised the fruit thereof. But the last ones, the first ones that were grafted out were also the last ones that brought back in, and the fruit thereof was exceedingly fine. And we may not always see what the Lord is doing in our lives and in the world, but He has a plan, and it's not always our plan, because I would like to see that from time to time, but I don't have the mindset to see what goes on in the Lord's way. And they are all having to become, what am I trying to say now? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And they have brought forth and put back into the, and reestablished the country of Israel. And there's still Jewish people coming back there. And if you, I'm a convert to the church, and many times I've talked to realtors around the area, and they said they don't understand the people that are coming into this area. They don't understand why they're coming, but they feel a need to come into this area. And I'm sure that the Lord is working in their lives, and they don't know why they're coming, but yet they're obeying the Lord. And we should also obey the Lord and do works according to what we can here. And I'm reminded too of the that great and spacious building that people that are walking along, and there's the rod of iron that was there, and they were able to hold on to their scriptures, and the rod of iron was their scriptures. And the big cloud came over them, and a lot of them, I attribute that like little kids when they're first starting to walk, they'll hang onto the couch as they walk along, and then pretty soon they'll pull their hands away to see if they can do it on their own. And we can't do anything on our own. We have to have the Lord there with us. And so the people that held onto that rod of iron, and they were able to be saved and go forth. And even though the people in that big and spacious building were yelling out to them that we're crazy and that there's the Lord is dead and that the Lord no longer works today like he did in times past, I beg to differ with them, because I know that the Lord is alive and still working with His people. And He does that daily. I don't think He's in a season of rest, and He's waiting on us to perfect our lives, and we need to be in the Scriptures and reading and understanding, and put those things, especially the things that are mentioned more than a couple times. And most of the time, you go through the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants in the Bible, and they bring forth the same message. And we need to understand those things and put them in our lives, and we shall have eternal life. That when we work with the Lord and do His will here in our lives. And there's times that I know that people don't understand why they're doing things. I've had people come up and quote scripture to me, and then 3 days later they say that they never said that, and I know they did. And I know that the Lord works with people who are willing. And I always like to even though that everybody is not of the church and stuff, but they still are listening to that still small voice that's within them. In a few weeks that we're able to celebrate the 4th of July, which brought forth our nation. And I know that at one point during the Revolution, I know George Washington was leading a bunch of his troops, and he is on horseback, and the Indians that they were fighting against at the time, they were always told to take out the leader, because once the leader's gone, the rest of the troops won't be in disarray and they won't know what to do. And after the war was settled, one of the Iroquois, I'm thinking other stuff, I guess. But one of the Indian chiefs, he said that he wanted to meet the man that he shot personally 5 times and didn't fall off his horse. And George Washington had a purpose to bring forth this kingdom and bring forth this nation. And in order to form this nation and stuff, that the kingdom was to come. Because if we hadn't brought forth this nation at that time, I don't think that we would have been like we are today. And I found this quote from Ronald Reagan, and it says, "I've always believed that we were, each of us, put here for a reason, that there is a plan, somehow a divine plan for all of us. In an effort to embrace that plan, we are blessed with the special gifts of prayer, the happiness and solace to be gained by talking to the Lord. It is our hopes and our aspirations, our sorrows and fears, our deep remorse and renewed resolve, our thanks and joyful praise, and most especially our love, all turned toward a loving God." And that was Ronald Reagan said that. And there's many times that we go through trials and things in our life that we may not understand. And those trials make us stronger. And it's just like the bodybuilders that when they're lifting weights, they tear a little bit of their muscles to make them bigger so they can lift more weight and stuff. And some of the sorrows that we go through, it strengthens us, and that we might bring forth to other people that have the same afflictions in their lives. And I know that each of us has our own things that we bore and burdens that we share, and that we were able to share with others. And others may know that they're not alone in their testimonies and in their strifes. And there'll be come a day that there'll be no strifes among us, that time will be when Zion is established and the great endowment will take place. And I look forward to that. And that's my testimony tonight, that Zion will be. And I'm proud to be a member of this church. Thank you.